October 31, 2020, it's a Watt from Pedro show. Pedro Show, last day of the month. Happy Halloween, everybody. Started with Bass Blues from John Coltrane. And then, whoa, who's making all that fucking noise way down in Brazil? Yeah, you can guess, people. I'm not man alone because the wonders of the Scat engineers in Estonia. I got the Veras do Limbo. You got to say do, right? Because Portugal, Portuguese.
Yeah.
Right. The kind of, I don't know, vermin of in limbo.
it's kind right. of worms from limbo. Limbo yeah. from the well, dirty book, you know?
We could call all kinds of stuff vermin. We could call rats, worms, bugs, all kinds of shit.
Down here as well. Okay. The cops, they call vermes.
Yeah. It's just stuff that lives off garbage. Basura.
That's it.
Okay. Anyway, you can hear them, right? Welcome aboard, guys. Galero, Vincius, and Nick. They're a trio now. But I got to play. I played with these guys 5 years ago in Sao Paulo. And they were only a duet. They're a trio now, but we'll get to that. We started the show with Bass Blues from John Coltrane. And then, yeah, Menino from Vermes do Limbo from the new album. So,
yeah.
Who wants to go first? Because I want to talk to you guys about your music journeys separate. Well, you got the loudest voice.
Oh, so
yeah, you go first. What's your earliest music recollection, please?
Record collection? Well,
No. Memory.
Oh, memory.
Recollection, yeah. It means, yeah. By the way, your English is very good, guys.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
So first, thinking back, that, look, first thing you got to understand, it's the Watt from Pedro show. So there's no hard questions and there's no wrong answers.
Yeah.
Okay.
So let's start. I think I start to pay attention to music from the radio and like Brazilian 80s music, like pop rock music. And well, after that, the skateboard in my life and like the music, like I was listening to PIL when I start, like, besides the Brazilian bands, PIL, Sex Pistols, Ramones.
Where was this? Was this Sao Paulo?
No, that was in Cambé. It's north? Nearby Londrina, down south.
South, okay.
Another state.
And I'm curious. So it's close to Argentina, Paraguay, Uruguay.
Yeah, closer than São Paulo.
Okay, yeah.
Actually, Paraná, the state, it's named by the river. That's a huge river, the river Paraná, that crosses Brazil, Argentina, and also Paraguay, if I'm not wrong.
Okay. In the house you grew up, was there instruments, musical instruments?
No. My father, he used to play accordion, but he quit. And after that, I think he went a little bit with like guitar, but in my home, we didn't have any instrument.
My father used
to have like a tambourine, and the other one used to have like a broken guitar. But that was it.
Yeah, it's hard to play a broken guitar. What about at school? Were you in the choir or the marching band or shit like that?
Man, here we don't have that in school. It's crazy. We don't have arts and music in school.
Okay. I'm just curious. I ask everybody this because I'm curious about how did you get on your instrument?
Well, in the street I used to live, like one started to play guitar, the other one started to play guitar, and I realized that this guy will need a drummer. So I started to play the drums.
How? Did you your parents buy you a drum set?
I had like 2 months of like a guy, like classes from this guy, and that was it. Then
I'm curious. How did you get a drum set?
Oh, I got a second hand from Christmas. My father gave it to me.
Was it a deal like this? I'll get you this drum set, but you gotta take lessons?
No, then my brother start to play guitar and we start to play together, and
so you took no lessons? You're all self-taught?
Yeah, kind of.
Okay, that's good. That's not a bad thing. What was the first record you bought for yourself?
I bought for myself. Well, the first one that I asked for.
No. I want to know when you spend your own money because, right, when you're young, you don't have much money.
First,
I remember mine.
I don't remember, actually. I remember the first one. I asked, but they spend money. I used to.
Don't worry about it. Like I said, no hard questions, no wrong answers.
A Brazilian band that I like a lot, and it's called The Fala from the 80s.
What about the first? What about the first gig you went to?
The first gig was near my neighborhood. There was those guys, like, from this town I was from, and they were playing Brazilian rock and roll music. And that was my first gig. And from that moment on, I was, like, hooked with...
Turn that with fucking what, phone on.
I want to play. I want to have a band. That was it.
Okay.
And I was lucky to have my brother, younger, like a year and a half younger than me, and he started to play guitar. So that was like our school. We used to just jam and made it up music together.
Right away, start writing your own songs.
Yeah, yeah.
Ah, that's
because,
great.
Like, when I told you, like, I decided to play the drums because all those guys in my street, they were playing guitar. But the first time I got with them to play, they told me, oh, you're not for, no, you don't belong. You have to keep playing that way or this way. I said, oh, fuck off. I'm going to write my songs and So I used to write the lyrics, write like the notes, give to another friend, and they play the notes and sing, and I go to the I play the drums.
No, that's great. That's great. I want to play Fofoca.
We'll be right back. Without hands, we don't care what the neighbors say. Raise a little Money slaloms through the fingers, American spirits, guitars and strings, ever clear, once hash. Now more books, records, selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, cholesterol blood work, gym membership, a strange obsession with shoes and pants, accumulations of black t-shirts, tattoos, heat pump, gutters. There is no rest from the consuming feast. They come in the mail, obsessively, minimum payment, telling me to stay in touch until death do us part, together forever.
Pedro Show, that was for Foca, for Vermis de Lobo, Limbo, sorry. My After That with a demo of Black Crow Red Sun, brand new record. Styx, not the band from Chicago, but Nephew Alex and a guy named Pavel from Russia, Cycle 3. The Suns, brand new, featuring Jerusalem in My Heart, a tune called Breathe, guided by Voices After That, Angelic Weirdness. Johnny Mark and the Rex with the late, great Frankie Allen. We raise a little hell. Model Home from D.C., Jungle Tate. See what happens in D.C. in a couple days. Phil Venable with some poems. He's doing poems now out in North Carolina. This Bills. Bills is what you got to pay, right? Golden Ghost from England. I think Darby. We Are Not Lost. The Hellbillies, England, too, out of Brighton. English music here, a Degenerator. That's Terrible Fantastic, also Brighton, Day Glow Explode, Super Infinite, Brother Carl. And then from England, but in the 60s, early electronic music, Harper Roos, St. George with Shock Chords. And finally, Jazzmore, Jazzabafo from Vermis de Lobo. So Vincius, the bass man, what's your earliest music recollection, please. Memory.
Brazilian music likes Mutantes and Pedro Santos, Secos e Molhados.
So you're talking about like hearing records at your pad? Or the radio?
Escutando esse coisa, você escutou no rádio?
I started to listen on the radio, and my father has tapes of Neil Young and songs like that.
Oh, you're talking like cassette tapes.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Because, you know, when I was younger, 8-track.
Yeah. I was pretty young. And
no, I'm talking about when I was young. When I was young, they had 8-tracks. You couldn't record on them. You just play. And what? How'd you get on the bass?
Como você começou no baixo?
Because my brothers play with me other instruments and the bass.
Was the one left over for you?
Yes.
All the other instruments were taken.
Yes.
The only one left.
Okay. So where you grew up? Where you grew up? Your brothers, they were playing. You grew up in a house of music. People were playing music.
No, only friends.
Ah, friends. I understand.
I said brothers, but. It's my best friend.
Yeah, yeah, I understand. And yeah, they needed a bass man, right? In the old days, it was like that. No one wanted to rock the fucking bass. Nowadays, though, a lot more younger people want to rock the bass. I've noticed there's a change. So what was the first record you bought for yourself with your own money?
It's Pixies, Suffer Rosa.
Pixies, Charlie.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Good band. Good record. And can you remember your first gig you went and saw?
Yeah, I play with my first band.
No. Audience.
No. Cholera. It's a punk rock band from Brazil, 80s.
Okay.
Cholera.
Hardcore.
Yes.
Okay. Now, what was the first bass you got?
It's the one he still has today.
Okay. That Fender P. Fender Precision bass, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's a good one. It's a good one. We got a saying here. If it works, don't fix it.
Yeah.
And how did you get it? How did you get it? Was it a Christmas present like Guillermo?
No, I'm changed with other instrument and more money.
Oh, you traded? What did you trade? What did you trade?
Yeah, a skateboard.
A skateboard, yeah. Okay, that's great. Great. And now you were playing with your buddies because did you write your own songs? Were you like Guillermo, you know, writing songs right away? Or were you trying to copy off records like me and D. Boone when we were young?
E o Stark, ele está perguntando se você começou, se você compunha ou se você começou a fazer cover.
No, I'm start to compose because my technique is not so good to play cover, and I'm start to create my music.
Ah, great! That's a great idea. You know why do you have to copy? You know, we were so stupid, but it was the 70s. It's terrible. Okay, Nick. What's your earliest music memory, please?
I remember going to, like, when I grew up, my parents were separated. So I'd go to my dad's place on, like, every other weekend. And he had a really good hi-fi setup in his front room. And I just remember, you know, he was really into, like, American rock at the time. So he played a lot of different stuff, but the one I really love was Edgar Winter, White Trash.
Sure, that's a band he had with his brother Johnny.
Yeah, that just like made a big impression on me when I was really young. I thought that was pretty cool.
That record was pretty. Are you talking about the live one?
No, the studio one.
Okay, because there was a live White Trash record that was really, but that was like in the 70s, before you were born.
Exactly.
I was a teenager when that thing came out. It had Rick Derringer and Rick Hartman on the bass.
It's kind of got the bass solos. It has and like White Trash, that first track. Give it everything.
Well, the live one, the one whole side was Tobacco Road. They had this big old version of Tobacco Road.
Anyway, I just thought that was crazy. I love that.
Yeah. No. That's some old timey rock. Well, not real old time, you're not Little Richard, Jerry Lee Lewis, but that's some 70s. Yeah. That's some 70s blues rock. Yeah, very interesting. So you think this had an influence? Well, how'd you get on the guitar?
That kind of came later at school. By the time I was like a teenager, I was really into like psychobilly bands in London because I grew up in London.
Near
Hammersmith, and in Hammersmith there was a place called the Clarendon Hotel, which doesn't exist anymore. It's been demolished. It's now like business center. But we used to go there as teenagers on Saturday nights, and they'd have like the Meteors and Frenzy and Demented Argo and Guana Bats and all these psychobilly bands. And we were just really into that, and that made me want to kind of get a semi-acoustic guitar and be like them.
You know, they say maybe the first psychobilly band was Cramps.
Yeah, sure. Cramps. I saw the Cramps Hammersmith Palais back in that.
So Ivy.
Huh?
Ivy, the guitar lady.
Ah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Great band. Cramps, great band. They had another cat, too, at first, right? Brian Gregory. But he disappeared.
Yeah.
But that first record, the songs the Lord taught us, yeah, huge. Huge with us, too. Garbage Man, Human Fly. Great
stuff.
Yeah,
amazing stuff.
So what was the first record you bought with your own money?
So that was, I remember we used to, you know, have singles, 45.
Sure.
And I used to go every weekend and buy one of those for 99p. And the first one I ever bought was the Specials, Ghost Town.
Okay, yeah. Twin tone, I think they call that label.
Yeah, two tone.
Two tone.
Yeah, ska. Ska.
Yeah, ska.
Okay, so and what was the first gig you went and saw?
So the first gig, this is my dad as well. He's like, he took me to see Meatloaf.
Okay.
When I was like, I must have been 8, I think.
That's
and
okay.
It was like this kind of Bat Out of Hell Dead Ringer tour he was
doing. Well, you know what movie he was in, right?
Rocky Horror.
That's right. They end up eating him. They chow him on a fucking table.
Yeah.
His name's Eddie.
The best scene in the film.
Yeah, it's a pretty good movie. That movie was really heavy with the punk
that
scene.
That really fucking weird.
I want to tell you, up in Hollywood in the punk scene in the 70s,
My sister
went and took me to a Rocky Horror Picture Show at the Tiffany. And a lot of the people I saw in the first days of the scene were at that thing. They come every weekend. They knew all the words. They throw toast.
I mean, we had that. I had a girlfriend who was one of those Rocky Horror fiends. So that's how I discovered it. I went along with her to one of these Rocky Horror shows. And it was crazy.
I'm telling you, it had big consequence over here because it was the early days of our punk scene.
Yeah.
So we
fed into that, didn't we? Yeah, it was mad.
We owe a lot to those cats for coming. I guess it was written in the 50s. You can kind of tell by the music, but they couldn't put it on because it was so strange.
Yeah.
It's such a weird film.
You're right. In England, it got famous first, and then it came over back to the U.S.
Yeah.
But it was actually done here, but you couldn't put it on because Square John's being so fucking uptight about it. so that's interesting. We're coming out, running out of time on the first hour, but I got to find, well, the first two guys that get together is Guillermo and Vincius, right?
Yeah.
Of course, you are the guys that I met. What's the name of that club?
Ungar.
Say it again.
Ungar Simply Days.
Ungar. Okay.
Like, hang on.
Yeah. Ungar.
Okay. Look, so we're at the end of the first hour, October 31, 2020, this Juan Pedro Show, special guest, Vermes Dolimbo. Hold tight for hour two. October 31, 2020, it's the second hour of the Watt from Pedro Show. We'll be right back.
took a long way round. We still only made it to the edge of town. We took a long way round. A ball of nerves, like I got no brakes on a hairpin curve. I'm just a ball of nerves. It's just a whole bag of wrong. It's just a whole bag of wrong. It's just a whole bag of wrong. Now I'm gonna bide my time. I'm gonna bide my time. Now I'm singing backwards now. You say it still sounds forwards, but I don't know how. I'm singing backwards now. Counting by twos, I was counting by threes. But somehow you reached 100, baby, way ahead of me. I'm gonna beat the drum, I'm gonna blow the fire. I'll catch you one last train.
Thank you.
Start off the second hour with Sangre Novo, Vermis de Limbo, New Blood. Maybe this is the story of them going from duet to trio. Sam Bennett after that with Whole Bag of Wrong. Samuel Lockward, Fallen Sensation. The Human Hearts, Soft Gamma Repeater. Thor Harris and Rob Halverson, the Valley of the Giants. Thor played for a while in the Swans. And then Foy Asim, Vermis de Limbo. So, this band, I got to tell the listeners out there, this band, you know, 5 years ago, me and my missing man got invited to play. It was trippy. It was like gigs for Converse tennis shoes. But yeah, you know, I've worn these things since I was a boy, so it wasn't jive. I mean, I really do wear them. And I did way before I heard about this gig. But anyway, any chance to play Brazil, I'm going to go for it. I've got to do it three times, twice with Stooges and once with missing men. And when I did with the missing men, I got to share the stage with Vermis de Limbo, and they were a duet. So Guillermo and Vinicius, how did you guys meet?
Well, we met because of the skateboard. We used to ride skateboard, and that was when we were around 12.
Well, you must have moved, right? You moved up to Sao Paulo?
No. We moved to Sao Paulo, I think, 15 years ago, something like that.
Ah, so he's from the same town you are. Okay.
Yeah, like next town.
Okay, and so you guys started skating.
Yeah.
Okay, and then from skating, it was just natural. Yeah, you're on the drums, you're on the bass, and you said bye-bye to your brother.
Me and Vinicius, we went to live together and in a town for study things and college, university, sorry. And
yeah, roommates.
So, yeah, and we start to play. Because I used to play and I knew he was playing, so we just like moved together and start to play together since that time.
Now did you start the band right away?
Yeah.
Okay. And where'd you get the name?
Well, the name was kind of like we're playing each other, like playing like swearing to each other, like, and we ended up with this name. Like, oh, you fucking vermin, or you vermin from somewhere, and oh, you vermin do limbo. And that's how the name, we ended up with the name.
Okay. Tell me about the first gig.
Our first gig? Well, it was in someone's house.
That's still a gig. We call that a house party.
Yeah. There was a house party. That was our first gig during, I think that was 96. So we did our first gig.
Now, how was it? Was it scary for you? Well, how were you feeling?
I think we are like, I was feeling well. I think Vinicius as well was feeling fine to do it. We're not like, we are just like having fun at the time, and
did you a lot of mistakes? No mistakes? Perfect gig? Perfect playing?
Nah, I mean, I don't remember.
Okay.
We were like
mental show.
Yeah, because we were living together and we were playing like every morning. So we're actually also doing our compositions, but also like improvising between them, and so that was like.
But I'm curious, I'm doing practice and doing a gig, to me, they're two different worlds. I mean, you have to do practice, but gigs are scary.
Yeah.
Anyway, why did you set, you know, most bands, well, you ended up a trio, but why for so long were you only two pieces?
Well, we had a guitar player.
Oh, you did way back?
No, back then. Back, like, in 96, we started as a duo, but when we moved from that town to back to Londrina, the place, like, we used to live. And then there was Fujita, was a guitar player that used to play with Vinicius. So he started to play with us as well. And we played with him for a long time, till the day he left to Japan.
Okay. Why? Was that his home country?
No, he's Japanese, but he went there to spend some time and spent like 10 years there.
Okay.
So when he got back, we finished the record we gave to you.
Oh, yeah. At the gig.
Yeah. So that record was with Fujita as well. But we did. Then after that, he went back to his place, and we kept here in Sao Paulo doing our thing. And Nick was always around. We used to play together in another band. And so we're a trio now.
I want to play here for Donna.
Thank you. The following are some of the major scandals that the Republican Party has been involved with. 1869 to 1877, President Ulysses S. Grant. Credit Mobilier scandal. The owners of the Union Pacific Railroad set up a dummy corporation, Credit Mobilier, to divert public money into their own pockets. They charged the government double the construction costs and received large land grants and government subsidies. They pocketed all the money from the subsidies and the bonds they sold. To keep Congress from investigating the company, they gave or sold at reduced rates shares to 14 Republican members of Congress, including the Republican Vice President, Schuyler Colfax. Congress only censured two members, Oliver Haynes and James Brooks, the lone Democrat. The Whiskey Ring scandal. Members of the Treasury Department and Internal Revenue Service began funneling whiskey taxes into Republican campaign slush fund and their own pockets. The leader was General John McDonald, a close ally of President Grant and a Treasury Department supervisor. Over 110 people were convicted. 1921 to 1923, President Warren Harding is elected with the help of the oil tycoons. Harding's Ohio Gang were poker player drinking buddies during Prohibition. Of President Harding, some were given cabinet positions they were not qualified for. One member, Jeff Smith, committed suicide because of the scandal. Harding also had at least two mistresses and an illegitimate child while in the White House. The Teapot Dome scandal. Secretary of the Interior Albert Ball made secret deals with oil men to drill Navy oil reserves. He received bribes of land, stocks, and money. Harding was promised vacations and gifts after his presidency, but he died while still in office. The Veteran Bureau scandal. Director of the Veterans Bureau, Charles Forbes, illegally stole government medical supplies and embezzled the funds. Harding let him leave the country before being arrested. He returned after Harding's death and went to prison. Harding's Attorney General, Harry Dalkey, was indicted for selling government alcohol, not enforcing prohibition laws, and selling pardons. He also refused to investigate any of Harding's people. To 1974, Richard Nixon was the Republican president. He had a VP bribery scandal. In 1973, Vice President Spiro T. Agnew became the second vice president in U.S. history to resign. The other, Calhoun, resigned because of differences with President Jackson. Agnew was accused of political corruption, including taking bribes, extortion, and income tax violations. He made a plea deal to resign and was convicted of one count of federal tax evasion. The Watergate scandal. June 17, 1972, five men are caught breaking into the Democrat National Headquarters to repair a bug used to spy on the Democrats. The illegal activities were funded by the Committee to Re-elect the President, known as CREEP, who were involved in sabotage and espionage on Democrat candidates, spreading lies and false news stories, and wiretapping while taking money from illegal campaign contributions. President Nixon approved the hush money, while Attorney General John Mitchell and others committed perjury. 26 of Nixon's associates went to jail, including Mitchell. August 9, 1974, Nixon resigns. Gerald Ford, who replaced Agnew, pardoned Nixon. 1981 to 1989, Ronald Reagan's Republican president. The HUD rigging scandal. The Housing and Urban Development Department has been used by the Republicans as a money-making scandal during the administrations of Reagan and Bush. Republicans received large fees for helping wealthy clients with HUD contracts. Low-income housing contracts were rigged to benefit Republican Party contributors, lobbyists, and cabinet members like James Watts. The Iran-Contra affair scandal. Reagan administration illegally sold weapons to Iran in hopes of freeing hostages in Lebanon. Money from the arms sales was secretly used to supply the Contras in Nicaragua with military aids. National Security Advisors Rodman McFarland pleaded guilty of obstruction and Rear Admiral John Poindexter resigned. Reagan forgot everything that happened. George Bush pardoned him. Other investigations of Reagan officials included Attorney General Edward Meese, who resigned because of allegations of corrupt contract awarding to GOP donors. The Republicans sure seem to have a lot of attorney generals doing illegal happenings. Over 100 Reagan officials resigned or were fired. The oath of scandal. Guilty and corrupt. Enemy of the people. Greedy and corrupt. Cut of the scandal. Guilty and corrupt. Enemy of the people. Greedy and corrupt. Scandalicious. 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 Thank you.
spot for Pedro show? Yeah, Verdana. Vermes de Limbo. Then Bad Sam with Looking Back. I think they're Welsh, man. Are You a Cop with Good Times? Scandalicious from Lunatics on Parole. Retrace from Foo. The Reflection of Minor Neurons. Hi, Maya. Alan Ravenstein was in that band. I got to talk to him yesterday. And then finally, Lamento. Vermes de Limbo. So, when did you get Nick in the band?
Well, my recollection of it is I just got back to Brazil in 2018, and it was about 2 days before the launch party of that album, the Soul Mais Escuro.
Yeah, that's the album before the newest one.
So the album before this one, and they asked me to play guitar, join them for guitar. They had this show, like a really nice show lined up at this theater called Centro da Terra, like Center of the Earth. It's a really cool theater. And the kind of record had grown. It's got a lot of participation, different people involved. And I just remember having to learn really quickly the whole thing. And then kind of like being on stage and playing it. And then it was kind of, that was it. We never like said, hey, do you want to play? Or they just never let me not play.
Now, a lot of these songs that were on the records, did they have guitar in them?
Yeah, so it's Fujita's guitar that I had to learn.
Oh, okay, so you had to learn his parts.
Yeah, I had to then learn his part. Well, but I couldn't learn his parts because they're quite unique. Yeah, so I made them my own and kind of changed it. And then it was nice. Then the album took on a kind of live.
So in a way, you kind of interpreted it.
Yeah, and we went on then doing a whole series of live shows, which was based on the album, but it was much freer, you know, than that. So it kind of took on a life of its own. And then that just sort of evolved naturally into recording this album.
But this record, this is you from the get-go, right?
This is me, but it's also got a participation of
Kiko Donucci,
who's a really, really great, talented São Paulo guitarist as well. And that's a different session, and then somehow we just put everything together. Kind of as to make the, it just seemed to make sense to mix these two sessions into one album.
So the guitar players from each session, they wrote their own parts, you and Kiko?
Yeah.
Okay, so the consistent thing was Guillermo Vincius.
Yeah, it's okay. Always the two of them.
You play the tunes now that Kiko did, right?
No, we've not played this live.
I don't know. You know, you have to tell me. When I get this mind reading thing, I didn't know that you haven't played this for people yet.
Not yet. I don't even remember how to play it anymore, those songs.
Do you have plans? Well, there's no real gigs, right?
Yeah, no gigs.
Yeah, no gigs around here yet. Yeah,
same with us. Well, you could do them like over online and stuff like that. But curious, two sessions. How long were each session? Was it just a day?
We did like the one session in a studio called Casa Azul. Yeah. A friend invited us. We spent like half a day. Yeah. Not even that. Because like we had like, I think, 4 or 5 like songs like set prepared to record, and the rest of it was like just let's play and see how it goes.
Like jam, improvise.
Yeah. That was a day.
Yeah, your band is very adventurous about that. I really liked it. We're at the end of the second hour, October 31, 2020, the Shawat Pedro Show. Special guest, Reverend de Limbo. Hold tight for hour 3. October 31, 2020, it's the third hour of the Walk for Pedro Show.
Thank you. Thank you.
Watt for Pedro show. We started the third hour off with a tune from Vermis Dolimbo from the new album. This reminds me when I got, well, over in the U.S. they called it the evil one, Rocky Erickson, right? But the one we had in England, it had these letters that were like alien. So I didn't know how to say it. And that's kind of like this title. I don't know how to say it because they use symbols. They said they were trying to describe the music. So there's like a greater than, and a hyphen, a less than, a backslash, straight up and a slash. But anyway, it's beautiful music. I love it. After that was Waste of Space, the Lost Tapes 01, from Crane's little archive there. Bronze Age UFO out of Baltimore with Alice Croupier. Not Cooper, but Croupier. And then... Buzz Kina from Vermis Dolimbo. So, why was there two sessions for the album?
Why?
Yeah, because Nick wasn't in the band yet.
No, because like the session with the other guitar player, we did like I think was 2017, and there was a thing like I did like we did it like in the afternoon at my place, and like and well in the end that was like in a pause for a while, and I start to remix it and see how it like work and cutting and editing, and then we did the session in a proper studio, and we just had like two albums, and we decided to put it together. That was a new thing for me.
Well, yeah, because Nick wasn't involved with the first session, right?
And the second session he was like in the second session we did like in 2019.
Now, with Kiko at the second session?
Kiko was the first session.
Yeah, but he wasn't at the second one.
No.
Okay. So you guys, have you ever played together, Nick, you and Kiko?
No. No, we haven't.
With the band, Kiko's band, we played with.
Them. Yeah, we played once with his band.
You mean Kiko, like you shared?
We never any live gig with Kiko. Well, we just like. Recorded like in a, what was a thing, like afternoon, let's get together and record it and see what happened. That was it.
But I think there's also like the idea of putting the stuff together was when we do get to play this live, it'd be great to bring everyone together, have Kiko take part.
Otherwise you got to learn his parts, or what you're going to do like with Fuchida and interpret and make up your own parts?
Yeah, probably. I mean, I'm the kind of thing is also like we've done quite a lot of shows where we just almost just improvise the whole show, you know. Sometimes it just goes off in a different direction. So there's not like a huge pressure to like really learn, like, you know, oh, we're gonna play this track now. And sometimes the bass and the drums are just so tight and they kind of go into their own thing. That then you're kind of just free as a guitarist to improvise and feel your way around that. So in that sense, it's quite different to the recordings that are more like just a moment of like what happened then and there, but the shows are kind of different, I would say.
Kind of a document.
Yeah.
So it's like quite, here's what happened, instead of like, like the traditional way is you get together these like compositions and, you know, you kind of put them together in a studio. What you guys do is you get a performance going and the studio experience is actually capturing that experience.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I like that. That's kind of closer to what those bebop guys were doing in the 40s and 50s.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes they would take a standard and go from there and trip it out, make it all whack, right? Or sometimes they just start with, you know, like you guys, jamming.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That's really interesting, you know, because if you think about it, rock and roll was always about songs.
Yeah.
But why does music have to be just songs? Why can't music just be rhythm? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think you guys...
I think about here in some playing gigs in St. Paul, like a lot of the venues are really shit. Like, they have no equipment. You take your own staff. They have a broken PA. Sometimes they don't even have a PA. You know, you never know what you're going to be dealing with. So in that sense, the more prepared you are to just go with the mood and the energy of the people and the place, the better it is. Otherwise, you just get frustrated. So we
work with what we got.
Yeah, you have to
I think I know exactly what you're saying, because that's kind of one of the fundamental things of the philosophy we jam Econo.
Okay.
Yeah.
You work with what you have. You don't make expectations that are like ridiculous.
Exactly. Yeah. So like, if we turned up thinking we're going to play this record perfectly, that's not going to happen. So forget it.
And also, I think it's not our natural, you know?
Sure. I understand. I understand. It makes good sense. Why try to be fake? Why not be what you are?
Yeah.
Okay, I want to play hip hop grind pop. We'll be right back. Pedro Show, last music for this dish, hip-hop grind pop, Hermes de Limbo. Yeah, it's so funny, we were just talking about how, you know, jamming and being in the moment and then kind of making fun of the song format. And then the Hawk with Too High out of Iowa City. And finally, Vem Ver Me Nos, Hermes de Limbo. And I think you guys made a great record. And it's got it's really got a good feel. And, you know, I know you guys a little more than just the record because I saw you play live. Now, I didn't get to see you with Nick yet, and I didn't see you with Fujita, but I did see you two. I mean, Guillermo. And I really like the spirit you had. I like the way you communicate. It's not like, hey, I'll see you at the finish line. You guys really come together to play.
I think we need to happen. Like, we need to change, like, have a little chat between the songs, you know, to understand. It's, oh, hey, now we're going to move. Because sometimes we stand more like the, well, things and say, oh, all right, now let's turn. So we have to talk between the songs.
That's okay. Whatever you do, you have to do because it's you. Where can people find you on the internet?
Well, we got Bandcamp.
Okay, well, tell people. So, you know, I want people to find out about you. Spell it out, please, URL.
Yeah, it's Vermes do Limbo.
And people, that's
vermesdolimbo.com.
Yeah, but they might not know how to spell that, okay? vermesdolimbo.bandcamp.com, people. Go there and check them out. This is a great band. They've got several releases. But I can't wait to hear the next one. Because the next one, it's just going to be you three guys, right?
Yeah.
Please get it to me and then come back on the show and let's talk about it.
And we are talking about to do it soon.
Well, as soon as you can. Right. You know what I'm saying? Will you come back on the Watford Pedro Show and we can talk about it and listen to it?
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, for sure.
Thanks so much. I really, really appreciate you guys coming aboard. And, kick up much dust. People, it's been the October 31st, 2020 edition of Watford Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.